Anger is a gift. Yeah, I think anger can be really transformative. And in different ways, right? It can be really like targeting, like help you really target in on like, okay, this thing does not work for me. I might not know why, but my body definitely knows why or knows that it doesn't work for me. It can also sometimes mask our pain or hurt feelings. So then it can be an invitation. Like, hey, like this is really angering. I invite you to come dig in and see what's under this anger. Also, I think it can be like protective. Like, I don't mean like the protectors in us that want to keep us safe, but the thing that makes us have protective instincts over each other, humanity, children, seniors, anybody who isn't able to stick up for themselves, like that anger of like, how dare you treat somebody this way? And that gives you that courage to speak up and say something. So anger can be such a like a beautiful pathway to say something that needs to be said. And of course, there's being direct and respectful, right? We're not talking about like going out and just belligerently yelling at people. I just feel like I want to say that. Anger, I think, also can move things too. Like, you know, let's say there's times in my life where I can get disassociated. Like that's my thing. Like I'm not one to like collapse or experience depression symptoms, but I will completely just cut out and leave planet Earth and I'm disassociated. I'm just peace, Earthlings, I'm out. But sometimes it's anger that can bring me back online because it's a powerful, like kind of like a hand like from my physical self, like, hey, Jamie, come back. And then letting myself feel the anger of like, yeah, I cut out again. Okay, like I'm gonna like, gosh, you were saying, I'm just gonna meet you with compassion and love, and we don't have to do that anymore. And then thank you, anger, for reminding me to come back. So it's just like a powerful sensation. So yeah, I think anger is a gift in a lot of ways.
Welcome to the Deeper Awareness Podcast, where we delve into the depths of our inner selves, uncovering authenticity and transformation. Join us for enlightening conversations on breathwork, self-discovery, and the profound journey within. I'm your host, Josh Perry, joined by the delightful Hannah Oxley. Let's begin.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's episode of the Deeper Awareness Podcast. This is Hannah. And I just first want to say a little thank you to our listeners. It seems a little surreal to have even a few listeners, so I am so grateful for those who are listening. We started this podcast just a few months ago, the beginning of the year, before the summer, actually. And now we're getting into the winter months, and it's just a nice reflection back to why we started this to begin with and how we are, as we're sharing people's stories, how that's resonating with the community. So it's just really, really beautiful to see, and I am just extremely grateful. So if this podcast is resonating with you, either you can like, subscribe, comment, share with a friend. We really love to hear what you think of it and show that you love it. So without further ado, I want to welcome our guest today, the beautiful Jamie Mack. This conversation was so great. Not only did we have a lot of laughs, and I just want to hang out with her all of the time, but we talked a lot about anger. This kind of goes along with what Josh and I, this theme that we are constantly talking about, with just the trying not to do a fall into a spiritual bypass. That it's so easy, and there's so many people out there promoting just, you know, high vibes only and everything love and light, and you know, that's just going in this upward healing motion, which is of course completely 100% necessary and amazing when you're feeling that way, but you can't forget to go into the depths. We talk a lot about this in previous episodes. So today on this show, we talked about anger and how it can really be a gift to be able to experience and uncover what's underneath that anger. So if that kind of sounds a little foreign and confusing, take a listen because we talk about that. So yes, please enjoy the show and like, subscribe, all of those things if you are resonating with it. Thank you all. I know that you're a breathwork facilitator, but can you tell me a little bit more about yourself if you have a little introduction?
Okay, so yes, breathwork facilitator. So I think what I've really learned about myself through that training, through my own healing and growth journey, is my capacity to like really sit with people's anger and pain. So what I've found is there's an intensity, of course, right? Anger, pain, intense. And I've been attracting people who have a lot of it and kind of are afraid to express it. And so I'm able to really just absorb that intense energy so that they can sit with the transformative information that's coming from the pain and the anger, which all emotions are information about us, from us to us, about us. It's like just a nice little like, you know, instant feedback, depending on how in tune we are with them, you know, because I had my journey of being completely disassociated and thought I was fine all the time, and I was not. So I started making this joke a couple weeks ago with somebody, and now I've made it like a few times, and it's like, oh, I eat anger for breakfast. Like, let's get in a breathwork session and just send me all your anger because I got it. And so I've got this just enormous, enormous capacity. One for socialness. So my capacity to like sit with somebody and be so present, it's like, oh, I'm actually quite extroverted. But I'm also like, I'm an environmental projector. I don't know if you guys, are familiar with the human design mapping.
So I don't know what the environmental part of it meant.
So like, you know how in human design, you might have like an energy authority somewhere in your body.
Yep.
I do not. My energy authority is in the environment, or sometimes in, like it says, mental or environmental. So all my energy channels are open, which means I don't have like an energy authority overriding yours. So when we're in a session, like I completely feel your body. So if you're having pain somewhere, I feel it in my body. If you're having any kind of sensations, like I feel it within my body. And so the skill has been to learn what is mine, what is not. And then of course, because of our training and learning how to like release energy, it's been really impactful for the people I work with to really express their anger, even if they don't want to do it loudly. You know, they don't have to like yell, they can if they want, but the intense energy, the intensity of it, like I just tell them to send it to me and then I can feel it coming in my body, but then I can release it really quickly. And I found that to be really cool because I'm like, people get angry, people have pain, and it can be really scary. But to have somebody hold space for you in that moment so you can just kind of send it all out can really help you like get the important information from the pain and the anger without having to internalize it or feel like you got to protect yourself from it or collapse from it. Mm. So not an intro, but that's what came up.
I love it. That's so perfect.
Thank you.
I have a few follow-up questions.
Hit me with them.
Is there a certain practice? Is it just, does it really just leave you that easily once a session is over if somebody had a lot of anger, or is there a practice you do to release
it? It's like, and I have found that because in the beginning I tried to do like, oh, let me release it. But what I found is I'm actually able to do it while I'm in the session. So like I'm pulling in the energy for somebody, like all this intensity. But I'm also just like sending it out, like just right away. Like I feel like before the sessions, I like to do practices to kind of like open all the pores of my heart, of my mind, of my body. And I really like to do a slow, like halo active in through the nose, out through the mouth, like super slow. Like I'm almost going into a coma slow. because I can get so quiet and still. I can hear my own heartbeat. I can feel my body, and then I can feel like the vibrations, like the subtle energy vibrations around me and into me. And then it just really turns like my dial, my sensitivity up. And then when I'm working with someone, like as they're breathing and going through a moment, I'm talking to them, but I'm also like doing breath at the same time. I'm sure y'all have experienced that too. Like in a moment, you're just like slowing yourself down because you can be really like, you can be really impacted by your client if you're not paying attention to yourself. You know that. So I found by accident, just because I would be breathing, I'm like, okay, just send me the anger. Like, because they need, sometimes people don't think they have anywhere to go with it. So the idea that they can send it out, I think is also just very like liberating, that there's somebody that where it can go, who's not going to judge them for it or, you know, send it back to them or react to it. And then I can find that just with the breath, like I do the practice before the session and it just leaves my body. And I'll make the distinction with, this is very different. Like when, you know, you're talking to somebody and they're just venting at you and they have no interest in completing the processing. They're just kind of stuck in the processing space. When I'm interacting with someone, it's not in a breathwork session. It's usually like people I know in my life. That when they're venting, I can feel that because that gets stuck in my body. Mm-hmm. And then that I'm like, after 5 minutes, I'm like, oh, I gotta go. It is so different than facilitating with the intention that someone really wants to release and they're open to letting it go. Just versus that, like, you know, in that stuck in the venting phase or processing, I call it stuck in processing. Like you're never really coming to a complete processing point. That gets stuck with me. Then I have to get off the phone and then I will like do some intense blow breath. I will like jump around, move my body, like just like some somatic movement. And sometimes like some, you know, sighs and kind of yells. Cause I'm like, oh, I gotta get this out of me. I gotta get out of this out of
wiping
me
now. Off.
Oh yes. Yes. Yes.
Well, it's so what a gift to be able to first of all, see that difference and know when it's holding in you. And cause I'm on that same path. I have a lot of open channels too. And I remember like the first realization of like, oh my gosh, like all this stuff might not be mine. So it's such a journey there. One other thing to say. So I teach a breathwork class at my local senior center and they're so cute. It's my biggest class by far. There's always like 15 people that come and we just do a short, integrated session. Cause I don't want them all on the floor. We all sit in a little circle. They're so cute. And, one of them is so, I love her because I asked to share, you know, when we arrive, like what's present for you. And there's just this one woman that always wants to share at the beginning and the end. And I love her for that because otherwise they're pretty quiet. Mm-hmm. And this one woman at the end of class, she's like, I have something to share with the group. And I'm like, please, absolutely. Like always. And she's like, I was driving and I saw this pickup truck in front of me. And on the back of the window, it in big letters, it said, anger is a gift. She's like, can you explain that to me? Mm. So I had a nice, you know, talk about why I think it's a gift. So I'd love to hear what you think about that.
What a good question. And mm-hmm. I love, like, I don't know her age, but you said senior citizen, that she's still so curious.
Yeah.
I'm like, that is a gift to be curious, like all the way through. Mm. Okay. Anger is a gift. Yeah, I think anger can be really transformative and in different ways, right? It can be really like targeting, like help you really target in on like, okay, this thing does not work for me. I might not know why, but my body definitely knows why or knows that it doesn't work for me. It can also sometimes mask our pain or hurt feelings. So then it can be an invitation. Like, hey, like this is really angering. I invite you to come dig in and see what's under this anger. Also, I think it can be like protective. Like, I don't mean like the protectors in us that want to keep us safe, but the thing that makes us have protective instincts over each other, humanity, children, seniors, anybody who isn't able to stick up for themselves, like that anger of like, how dare you treat somebody this way? And that gives you that courage to speak up and say something. So anger can be such a, like a beautiful pathway to say something that needs to be said. And of course, there's being direct and respectful, right? We're not talking about like going out and just belligerently yelling at people. I just feel like I want to say that. Anger, I think, also can move things too. Like, you know, let's say there's times in my life where I can get disassociated. Like, that's my thing. Like, I'm not one to like collapse or experience depression symptoms, but I will completely just cut out and leave planet Earth and I'm disassociated. I'm just peace, earthlings, I'm out. But sometimes it's anger that can bring me back online because it's a powerful, like, kind of like a hand, like from my physical self, like, hey, Jamie, come back. And then letting myself feel the anger of like, yeah, I cut out again. Okay. Like, I'm going to, like, Josh, you were saying, I'm just going to meet you with compassion and love, and we don't have to do that anymore. And then thank you, anger, for reminding me to come back. So it's just like a powerful sensation. So yeah, I think anger is a gift in a lot of ways. I'm sure we could probably find like 100 more ways, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for answering that. It was so good. I answered it, you know, not as well as you, but it was, and then one guy came up after we were all leaving and he was like, that was a really good reflection. And I'm like, thank you. Like, it's all emotions. I think I said something along the lines, like, all emotions are welcome. We should really welcome all things because they tell us there's so much wisdom there. I also just have to reflect. I was just watching three dogs this weekend on top of my dog. And my dog, I'm reminded that my dog is the best dog ever.
By contrast. Thank you, contrast.
Well, like, I can, with my dog, I can put my dinner, like, if I'm just watching TV and eating dinner, like, put my dinner, like, on the coffee table and, like, oh, I forgot my water. I'll walk into the other room. And she doesn't do a thing. Like, she, one time she did, and she never did it again because I, you know, I was like, don't, you can't do that. And she never did it again. And I'm so used to that. So one of these dogs that I had this weekend will jump up on top of the counter to get any sort of food, will jump into the kitchen sink to, like, lick all of our, like, bowls clean. So I was like, all of this, like, anger was coming in through me, and it was, I'm like, so I'm sitting with it. I'm like, I think it's because I'm like, it's so, it's more instinctual than anything, like with food. I'm like, that's my food. Like, get away. Like, I was turning into a dog, like standing up about like my food.
Don't steal Hannah's fries.
And so just being able to sit with that, like, it was something that, like, I couldn't really control because the dog just, that's just, he can't control or she can't control what she was doing. And I'm like, okay, well, all I can do is be better prepared and try to, you know, clean everything, every last crumb off of my plates before I put them away and, like, whatever. But So I was really sitting with him. I'm like, wow, I was so angry. Like, if I turn my back, I see the dog and I'd be like, what are you doing? Like, wow, I haven't screamed like that in a while.
Why are you this way?
Why can't you be like my dog?
Can you relax? I feel so, you're invading my life. I have to adjust my lifestyle for you for one weekend. That's not long enough to, like, make it a habit. So it's like you're just constantly thinking about it. You don't get to relax your mind or just like, oh, I'm going to grab something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to, like, rearrange my kitchen because my dog would never do anything like that.
What did you say to that guy? Say it to yourself. All emotions are valid.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I think it's a perfect example for the conversation because, like, anger doesn't always have to be this huge, enormous, traumatic thing. It can be these moment things. And, like, and I think that might be something also that's really interesting about anger is how, like, I was gonna say, what's the word for, like, how varied it is, or the intensity can be such a broad spectrum.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like such a dynamic experience. But then we can feel it in the body. So just, I guess, like, I don't know. I'm gonna think for this for a moment out loud. Like, the different variations of anger all seem pretty similar in my body. Like, I feel like this kind of explosion that's coming from, like, my solar plexus and, like, even from my heart space, like, all at once. And it's just like a,
mm-hmm.
And then I feel like, look out.
I can feel it, like, in my fingertips. Like, it goes, like, starts here and just goes all the way through. And yeah. I like how you, one of the other gifts you mentioned about how it brings you kind of back to, because I'm same way. I'm space and air. I'm always, like, I can gone in an instant. And when that dog was eating my food, I was like, okay, here I am. So I have a few health things going on. So I was like kind of disassociating, and then was able to like, oh, here I am. I'm right here. This dog's eating my food. What am I doing? So it's true. It brings you like right back to.
Yeah. I'm space and air too. And so, and I think if I think about just like the elements on earth, like what helps fire like grow is oxygen. So air. And I think people like us who have so much space, like it does bring us back. But if we don't like ground and breathe and have tools and resourcing like breath work, then it can just overpower me. I know. I don't know if that's how you feel. And I can feel like it's just my, like my blood is boiling and everything I see red. And then I'm just like, I've never ripped anyone's face off. But I have described it.
Well, while we're on the topic of disassociation, you had mentioned something earlier about kind of like living a life of that and then coming to a more fulfilled feeling, if I can say that.
Yeah.
Because I resonate with that too. I had a very similar story. So if there's any part of that story you want to share.
Well, it's 40 years of stories. So let me see which ones to pick from. But I would say that's how I coped, like largely. And I think it's being a spacious being. It was just so easily acceptable or accessible. It was so easily accessible to like be in my head.
I would say acceptable. Like I, whenever I'd be like, right. I don't feel like doing anything. I have so many people that validated that for me.
Yeah. And like, because you can be so emotionally absent, you can just like go through the motions and you appear very high functioning. You know, like I have family that during like coping moments are going to go more towards the depressed side or the big emotions coming outside. And it's not as acceptable. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, I mean, not just because of things that society says, but just growing up and what like, oh, that person's this or this person's that. So, you know, the disassociation just went hand in hand to be like, yeah, cool, not doing that. I'll stay where I am because everyone seems to be thinking I'm okay. And then they leave me alone. So,
right.
Yeah. So I remember actually when I was 20, I was visiting my aunt and I was trying to figure out something, a decision in life. And she's like, well, what do you feel in your body? Like when you think of it this way, how does it feel? When you think of it this way, how's it feel? I'm like, nothing. I felt nothing. So, yeah. So that was an interesting feedback for myself because I was like, why don't I feel anything? Like why? And it also like, as much as you can't just numb out one feeling or emotion, you numb them all. So I often would find myself, like I played soccer and we were pretty good some of the times, especially as I got a little older and got on different teams, and we would win these big games and I would feel nothing. And I'm like, okay, what's next? Like, whatever, everyone's celebrating. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then my grandpa caught me one time. He's like, why aren't you, we won a big district game. And he's like, Jamie, why aren't you cheering with everybody else? I'm just like, oh. And I was just like, and I walked away thinking like, why are you, Jamie? Why is that? I didn't know for a long time. But then I would find that I would have really great like dating relationships in my 20s, but then I would get into more a committed relationship with somebody who was very emotionally unavailable. But then was also kind of like, what's that emotional attachment style where you go back and forth from avoidant to anxious to avoidant to anxious?
Disorganized.
Okay. That's who I would get more committed with.
Mm.
And so my disassociated system would be like, WTF, what is going on? But then it was bringing out my shit too. And then I was really confused. And I was like, why are all you suck so bad? Because I don't suck that much, I swear. Like, if I suck, it's just a little bit. And I don't think I suck at all. But yeah, and so I think that was like just dysfunction in relationships that was really starting to show me that like I would go from these extremely numb, chill, quote unquote, chill states to overactivated system, like just so confused about life and sobbing, crying, collapsed, and like, and I just didn't know what the hell was going on. So I sought out counseling a couple times. But it wasn't really until 2019, I guess, I went and tried to meet with a counselor because I had actually some PTSD.
I don't mean to laugh, but 2019, everybody's life changed in 2019. Okay. So that's why Josh and I just smiled, because like 2019. Sorry.
I told Josh this. I learned this thing. I'm going to tell you now too, because it's fascinating. So before the 1800s, maybe the 1600s, we were on a 13-month calendar. Mm. You remember this, Josh? The whole Mayan calendar? It's 13 months. Ethiopia is still on a 13-month calendar. So if you go online to convert the dates, it's still like 2017 or 2019 there. Okay, so if you line up the Mayan calendar when it said that, like, oh, the world is going to end. So in our 12-month calendar, that was like September 20th, 2012.
Yeah.
But on the 13-month calendar, it's December 31st, 2019.
Oh my God. I just got a full body chills. Oh my God.
You're just like, nobody fucking mentioned that.
I agree. Like, something crazy was happening in 2019. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The end of 2019.
The end. 2020. Mm-hmm. New world.
Yeah. Anyway, so you were saying you went to a counselor.
Found PTSD. Yeah. So I had PTSD from my first marriage. It was right before things were getting violent, and I left because I had this thought in my head that I'm not going to stick around long enough to find out if I do get hit. So I'm going to go. But everything before there was, and leaving, I realized I'd been scared of this person for a long time and didn't realize it. And there was like some violence and some rage for this person, just a lot of unsettled anger issues. But it made a lot of sense to me because when we started dating, I had a lot of anger I had been pushing down. And so when I started doing breath work in 2019, that anger I was starting to confront. I was like, oh, I feel a lot of anger a lot of times that I've just been really disconnected from. And so I went to somebody who wasn't a good fit, but that's okay. But then I didn't go back right away. And so I was like, podcasts, materials, like just trying to learn. And I built a fortress of safety around me, like with where I lived. It was like, you know, super security where I lived. Like I really didn't develop new friendships for a while, except maybe work relationships and friendships, and kind of stayed at a distance. Even some of my current friendships at the time started fading away. Like I could feel like I needed more respect for my boundaries, and then I wasn't getting them. And then some people just weren't able to like learn to respect that I, you know, some boundaries were really important to me. And I think they were always important to me, but I'd had a history of already just like having very flexible boundaries or negotiating my boundaries for not just anyone, but if I really loved you, then sure, like maybe it's not that important to me because you're so important to me. So that little like building this fortress of safety. And then because of COVID, of course, like friendships really started like fading away for me. I was changing so much. Breathwork 2019. New world 2020. But then I actually started dating someone and we were in the COVID dating bubble. So, you know, that either accelerated you or it broke you up fast. Like either way, it was going to happen fast. Spoiler alert, we're married now. But this was a very safe relationship, very loving space. So all of this stuff that had been never safe to confront was coming up, and it was like I was reacting to him as if it was the ex, and we'd both kind of be like, whoa. Like, so then I'm like, okay, therapy stat. And I did somatic experiencing therapy. And I actually started January 2021. So it wasn't immediate that I'm just like, oh, okay, let's do this now. It was like, but maybe not. Maybe we can work through this. Maybe you're overreacting and again, I'm chill and nobody else in the world is chill. So not true. It was not true, by the way. And I mean, I think if you just see me in this, like the amount of animation when I'm calm is intense when I'm not calm. So I'm just a very animated, loud human, and I'm under 5 feet. So it's, I feel like I have the space to be like, I can roar. Cause I mean, I'm like a little kitty cat, I'm just tiny. But anyway, so I went to somatic therapy, and changed everything really. And then,
did you accidentally find a somatic therapist, or were you intentionally going that route?
Intentionally. Someone in my family had found a somatic experiencing therapist and suggested it to me. So I was looking for that on purpose. And I was listening to podcasts like Sam Skelly podcast, Mark Groves podcast. So the idea of this, like, going into the body first and not doing the cognitive talk therapy approach was like the seeds were planted. Mm-hmm. And then the suggestion came and I was having those big reactions like to things. And so all of it was just falling in place just nicely. So the answer was so obvious, somatic healing, like talk therapy. It's like, I disassociate. I can narrate my whole life and not shed an emotion. So that's not going to work for me. I need to go somewhere where it's just like, I'm just ripped open and bleeding and guts everywhere. It's like, I need the full immersive healing experience.
I feel like that's so relatable. And I'm always careful to not like badmouth therapy, because I feel like it was a step. It was so important for our society to be introduced to the idea that it's okay to check out what's going on inside. And so, and now it feels like we're at this next step of looking within with different eyes and different tools. And so I'm curious. So with this concept of deeper awareness, with this, your, you know, as you've jokingly said, it's everyone else and you're chill. Did there come a point where you're like, okay, this is actually not all me, but I control it by doing my own work?
That's a good question. Because I think in that like spacious disassociating thing, it's just natural to kind of see myself at a distance. And then really interesting, as a little wee little babe, I didn't like to go to sleep. I'd have bad dreams. I didn't want to go to sleep. So my mom taught me to meditate to my third eye while going to sleep. And I'm 34 years old. So as much as I was stoic and like 3D, like our, like, you know, 3D, 4D, like you see me life, I had been just like wildly leaving the planet every night on accident. But it'd been really like expansive, because it's like there was a part of me that just, this higher knowing that was present with me at times, even through the disassociation. So I might have been super disassociated from the emotional experience, but I was not disconnected from the conscious awareness experience. So I was able to observe myself as I went through these things. And so I think that was probably the hardest thing for me, is trying to understand why nobody seemed to know me the way I knew me. Mm. Like, how come they don't see me the way I see me? Now I totally understand, because I understand the subtle energies and I understand the emotional energies and the perception of what that looked like. Meanwhile, I'm all in this cozy little universe, like inside my head or outside this world, where I am fucking awesome. And so what I learned on this journey is that I get to be awesome all the time, and I can be okay with those emotions. And it's a big deal to not just splatter my emotions onto others, or like that chilling thing, like I would want to just cut out and not be present with somebody, or not take responsibility for my own moments. Like, I think one of the things that I came to terms with, especially in my marriage, is like, maybe I'm not as competent as a communicator as I just always thought I was. I mean, I'm great. Like, look at me. I'm talking so well. Like, I'm so clear. But then the emotions in a romantic relationship just change all the wiring in my head. And I think I'm still coming to it so clear, so loving, so respectful. And then, like, when I'm able to kind of like, okay, see the emotions and at a distance and not like internalize it and see myself, I'm like, oh, okay, that is hurtful. That was selfish. That was like, I was really only in my feelings. So all of that, I mean, just the answer to your question is layers, layers and layers and layers. And these are just some of those layers of like unraveling this delicious onion of Jamie. So that's part of it, is like coming to terms with my incompetencies, that it's okay to suck at stuff. How am I going to know how to get better if I don't acknowledge that I suck at something? I'm going to leave it at that. Yeah. Like, it's okay to suck at things. It's okay to be awesome and suck at things. It's okay to like feel great about yourself and know that you're not, the impact other people are having is not great. Those all can be true at the same time. And then like what we're talking to, and I think we're pointing to, is the work in bringing those two things together, like so that they're aligned and not being so far apart. So I would say I spent most of my life like living very far apart in two different worlds. And so since all of this in our work, I've been bringing that into one world so that it can be me in all places all the time.
I was talking with Gabrielle. So Hannah.
Yes.
Do you remember what I said when I was describing Jamie?
Yes.
Are you encountering it already?
Yes.
What?
Delightful, down to earth, and fun, I think, all along those lines.
Yeah.
Thank you. Actually, being delighted is my favorite sensation.
What's
why I love blueberries so much? I feel like you take a bite of a blueberry, it's like, delight.
That's
like, you know it's coming, but it never disappoints. So maybe I'm a blueberry. Never disappointing. I'm just like really like boosting myself up today.
I like that. When we were, I worked at a farm all summer on the harvest crew. And so at one point, you know, we just sit there and harvest and weed and do stuff. And it's a group of us. And we decided to name each other our spirit vegetables. So you can be a blueberry. It's a fruit.
Yay. Work. What were you? What did you choose?
Oh my God. Shoot. What was I? They were kind of like, oh, I was a sweet pea.
Oh. That just warms my heart.
My manager was a sweet potato, and it was just her, like, to like, she's just like warm and friendly, and she's a sweet potato. There's this really tall blonde kid. He's so young, but like also very mature, and he was garlic, like a big like stalk of garlic.
Oh, that's cool.
It was so good. It was so good. And then there was this one kid. He listens to the podcast, so we can put this in for him. He's always like a little grumpy, but I could tell right away that he has the warmest heart ever. And so everyone's like, you're a prickly cucumber. Like nice and cool and smooth on the inside, but just have a little prickliness around you.
That is so fun.
Mm-hmm.
So Josh, what spirit food are you?
Well, Josh loves orange juice.
Oh,
maybe you're an orange.
I was like, I do? Oh, I do.
I forgot who I am, so thank you for reminding me.
That reminds me, Josh, I need to have
on
some,
planet Earth.
Yeah, I need some orange juice.
Is your mouth watering now for orange juice?
Yeah, it's been too long.
So what are you doing now with your certification?
So I have a breathwork subscription program. It's a 3-month commitment. And then of course, after that, it's like month to month. And then for fun, I have these little transfer mini calls. So I have this, this belief that it just a small shift, like a little degree change, can just create enormous transformation in your life. And sometimes it helps to have somebody else hold the space and help you identify that than knowing it on our own, because we have all of our stuff in all of our life in our heads. So how can you like take a moment, take a breath, and then identify like that small thing that you can do to implement into your life and then actually experience transformation. I mean, I've gotten so much transformation from somatic experiencing, from breath work. So I like to offer that too. And so that's just a free little one-on-one half hour. Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, with the breath work certification, I mean, I have a million other things I want to do and I'm working on, and trying to work on one thing at a time. But they're not necessarily breathwork stuff. I want to create some digital products.
Like what? I'd love to know about that.
Okay. So I want to write this ebook. I've had a few people ask me like how to better articulate themselves. And I'm like, oh, I keep getting this question. So maybe I should like put some of these answers down and then just make them available. So I like that. I had this idea for an e-course. I don't know how many weeks. I was going to say 6 weeks because that's a popular answer, but I don't actually know if it's 6 weeks. And so connecting these like internal world, external world parts of us, like, you know, those layers of self, you know, we've got that higher self. We've got that conscious awareness self. We've got the subconscious self. We've got the physical self. And it's like, oh, how do you get all of these on the same, like same playing field? Especially when people talk about manifestation. And I think a big thing that I'm learning that I was like, something's missing for me. And now I'm understanding what's missing is that these layers of self need to be on the same page and they need to be like manifesting the same things to see those like really quick results. But when I'm wanting something and my higher self wants something else, because maybe what I want is from ego or an inner child need or, you know, whatever, but that's in a conflict with my higher self, or I have a conflicting agreement or story in my head, then that experience is not when you hear these people like, oh my God, I manifest this thing. They're like, I can't manifest shit. And it's like, oh, you know, we got these layers of self. So it would be a program about like self-taught, just like, here's a bunch of like recordings and workbooks to help you like kind of map it out. Like, I think a lot of people think like me, like visual kinesthetic, where it's like, or spatials, like my memory is spatial. And so I'm like, if I could put together like maps and ways of looking at this, this might be really helpful for people. And it'd be fun to create because it's like all up in here. So I'm like, I need to get this out. That's probably why I talk so much, because there's just so much I need to get out and share with the world.
That's so exciting. And it sounds like it's so well needed. Like I was like, sign me up for all of those things that you're mentioning.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I just want to facilitate breath work and create, write, like use my voice and yeah, just do that for the rest of my life. Sounds great.
I love it. And so it is.
No, I really am breathing that in and receiving that. That thank you. Like that just when you said it, it hit me. I could feel like my heart open. So I just thank you, Hannah.
I'm hanging out with my daughter and son a week ago. And my daughter was feeling rage, and I recognize it now. And I could tell she was triggered about something and wanted to change the something outside of her, you know, so that she didn't have to feel the inside thing. And I was talking to her about, you know, it's okay to feel that. That's so normal. And I said, we can even give it to nature. We can give it to the ground. And then she's like, but I don't want to give it to the ground. You know, her kindness is like, why would I give that to her or to, you know, Mother Nature? And so this big societal need as parents trying to teach kids about honoring their emotions and permissioning them to feel all their things, and that it's so healthy and so normal, and also doing it in a way where we're not impacting siblings or classmates or whatever. So I would love your thoughts on any of what I just shared.
I had a little temper as a kid. My family likes to tell stories about it. My first thought is about giving your anger or any intense energy to the earth. And this might be the next conversation with a kid if they say something like that, is that, you know, the earth has this beautiful, amazing, magical ability to transform that anger into powerful transformation. So it's like a gift to give it to the earth. You're like, you know, you think about ember, you know, energy, fire, like they set those wildfires on purpose. They make a perimeter and they set them on purpose because then they're less flammable later. And then if you watch those nature documentaries, like all of that ash is actually nutritious for the trees that are still there and for the new growth. And sometimes it's, you know, those canopies are really obstructive. And so they're letting the sunlight in. So the ash and the sunlight, which I know there's like, I think it's like nitrogen or something, sciencey, is actually what's helping transform the earth and keeping it, and it's not fertile. Okay. So like, but fire is what helps that process, and helps that transformation. So for that little person, or even as adults, like that, I'm going to give this to the earth. And there's that part that's like, well, I don't want to hurt people with it. And it's like, well, you won't hurt the earth with it. The earth is going to transform it into transformative properties. The science of when things burn down is one way to look at it. So I don't know if you think that would help. Like if you shared that with your daughter, would she be maybe more willing to let it go because she knows that the earth is actually like can hold it and then turn it into something beautiful? Because if we didn't have fire, there's so many things about our earth that wouldn't work. Like there's so many things about the properties of transformation that wouldn't work. So that fire can be fueled a little by the anger. What else? Yeah. So I don't have kids, so that's easy to say. But what I would imagine I'd want to help my kids with if I have them, is like a deep breath in through the mouth and then I like just yell it out. Like I love to yell it out, especially when I'm home alone. I'm just like, nobody's here. And I just want to like, just let my voice be heard. I also think there's something very like healing about the vibrations of our own vocals. Like mm-hmm. Everybody's voices are so different. And I think for a reason. And then you can change your voice, right? You can talk low, you can talk high, you can talk excited, you can talk compassionately from the heart. And I think all these variations of vibration are healing. So if we're denying ourselves the healing, like the vocal vibrations of our anger, we're also not fully healing all the anger that's in there. So letting it out. And I think there's a beautiful aspect of letting ourselves feel that like wildness a little bit, like just let it out. Or, and knowing that you're not doing it towards anybody, you're just letting it out. You're expressing it. But yeah, like you said, like you're walking around and that anger is sitting there. And I don't know. I know for me, I've had anger make me really sick. I've had anger create lots of pain and inflammation in my body. And for a long time, I was like, it felt like, oh, that's normal because I'm from a family of athletes and we all have joint pain. We all have inflammation. It's a badge of honor. It's because I worked my ass off on the field and, you know, now I'm so strong with all my pain. But really, I think it's holding in anger. And it was more of like a, you know, learned behavior of holding in angers and frustrations. And I think that inflammation led to a lot of pain. So I think it is very important to get that anger out, but in healthy ways. Because yeah, like your sweet little girl, she doesn't want to harm the earth with her anger, but we can harm other people with our anger if we're directing it towards someone or not even thinking about their boundaries, right? Like my husband is a very gentle soul. And if I was going around the house yelling, he would be freaked out and his energy would be down. His system would be reacting. So it's like, as much as I want to yell right now, I know he's going to run an errand later. I'm going to stay home and I'm going to yell while he's not here. So respecting like who's around. And now I don't know how that's going to work because we just got a cat. So I don't want to scare her. But we have a basement. So maybe I'll just go down to the basement and sound like a wild animal.
The car, I find I have my best screams in the car.
Yeah. In the garage, turn the radio on.
I think it's something to do with the steering wheel.
Yeah.
Grab it. Scream.
I will take this machine and I will rule the world. run over my nemesis. All this anger. If anger could fuel our cars, whew,
I know.
Money we'd save.
My old job, I used to leave every day and just be like, ah. That's before I even knew about somatics. Just knew it felt good to scream in my car.
It's like our bodies just have, like, the instincts are so healing. Like, the body, you know, we hear our mentor from the training say the body knows what to do. Mm-hmm. It just really does. Like, and it's like listening to that and letting yourself have it and not judging yourself for it is so healing. Mm-hmm. So Josh, when you say like you have that anger, do you find that you have a history of not, like you said, you'd been so gentle and so now though, have you found ways that you want to express that anger that feel aligned for you and don't like hurt those softer sides, but then also get to express them? What's your body telling you? You want to give me the middle finger right now? Would that help?
I feel like I need some form of like punching bag or, you know, something very physical that I get to express into or at.
Punching bag's a good one. I used to belong to a boxing club and it was the best thing ever.
We have one.
It's the best.
But there's also this other thing that I learned this in somatic therapy is to stand in the stance of a punch. But actually mine was like, I want to flip tables over. Like really big tables, you know, like 2-ton tables. Like it's like, I want to flip one of those. But it's letting yourself go through the motions, but slow it down. Like slow down a punch, but not the force. So clenching the muscles and like pulling back so slow and then just like, and letting the force grow and grow and grow and just keep doing it a few times and then until it feels complete and then relax the body and see if what comes up, because sometimes just like holding, like feeling the intensity, going through the slow motion slows it down. Like, cause the actual punch is going to be intense, but it's going to be fast, but slowing it down, then you can really feel into it and see what comes up. Mm. And then with all your training, you could probably add layers of different, like deepening your awareness. I was like, I'm gonna fit in the name, the title. Well, backwards.
It's so easy to fit the name in. Well, Josh, last weekend when you helped me, when I was so angry at that guy that told me to put the dog on the leash, I was just needed to let it out. So I was telling Josh, like, there's so much anger in me. Like this guy is trying to control, you know, my Sunday afternoon when I'm just trying to walk the dog. And so he just was so good about listening to how he could see what was happening to me, and then suggested that I either do a scream in the pillow or whatever. And I went downstairs and my poor meditation pillow was pow, 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 like just to the pillow. It was it's a good strong pillow. And I was just like really having at it. And then I screamed at the pillow, like right into it. I was like, go put your wife on a leash. And I don't know where that came from. That thought didn't cross my mind, but it's just like when I was letting it all out, I just screamed at it.
That is going to be in my head, and I'm going to have to be careful not to just blurt that out at people now, because that's so funny. Put your wife on. No, then I'd be supporting the patriarchy, so I'll have to find another way to enjoy that phrase.
Oh my God. I had said this in my message to him, like, this, I know this is going to bother me for the rest of the day. Like this has happened once before and I know it's just going to bother me throughout the rest of the day. And after he kindly gave me a suggestion of how to feel it through, let it sit there. You know, why is that anger in me? What does it feel like? Let it take up space. And then I let it out. I was done. I was gone. It was good. The rest of the day went by so smoothly. I never thought of it again.
I love that. Yeah. Let it go. Sometimes, yeah, for me, it's let it go. And then sometimes I discover, like, especially like in domestic living with other people, there are so many angering moments with another person. why did you do it that way? But I've really let myself in, like, that anger. Okay, like, how can this be a mirror for me? Because I happen to marry someone who might be just the most powerful mirror in my life I've ever experienced. And it's like, it's ego crap. It's ego, like, crushing to, like, live with someone and they don't say anything, but you just see yourself and you're just like, I thought I was so chill. But I've been really confronting how much of the way I think it should be and, like, the things that make me so angry. And, like, cause sometimes it's just, like, domestic, like, the house, how we clean something or how we organize something. And I realize how much it speaks to my own upbringing and how much, like, high expectations there were on being adequate at things. Like, at such a young age, like, okay, you need to do it as good as me, an adult, or better, or it's not good. Or you have so many times to try. And then after that, like, you know, you just, I don't know. I don't really think, I have to think about if there are things as us as kids, like, had a hard time succeeding at, but there was, like, this undertone messages of being really competent. And so I'm confronted with that a lot. Like, okay, these things that, yeah, I'm really competent at it, but why do the towels have to be folded this way and only this way? Or why does it have to be put away this way? Oh, because there's a more competent way to do it. It saves space. But how many fights and nagging and annoyances am I having? And how is that a better way? So that has been very confronting for me with anger. So I found, like, in my household, if I get angry with my partner, like, my first response is, okay, is this coming from a way I think it should be? Or a way of something, or is this, like, a legitimate hurt that happened? And 9 times out of 10, it's because I'm projecting what I think it should be, because that's what was projected on me as a kid. And so now I'm expecting my partner to have the exact same, like, standards or ways to do things as me. And he's really clean, but somehow it's not clean enough. And he's really organized, but it's not organized enough, right? And it's just never enough. And I'm like, that's not a him thing. That's a little inner me thing and the messaging I got. So I just wanted to add that about my own personal experience with anger, that it's such a mirror. It's just information.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard too, I'm sure you've heard it also, that when you're cohabitating with somebody, it's when you're upset with each other, it's always your inner children that are fighting. Because it's always, you get to that point, like, what are we even fighting about? And then you're like, I don't even know, because it was just that inner child upset about something, and their inner child got upset about it. And it's,
yep, you've described every marriage ever. Yeah, we really don't grow up, we just get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
We don't mature. I mean, I guess some things mature, but we're just adult, I think, is an illusion, like time is an illusion.
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about the mirroring thing, it's so true. I have the same experience with my boyfriend. But also, I like to just mention the good ways he mirrors me. Like, when I do see myself in him and I'm like, oh, like, I'm mad at him for being on his phone all the time. Like, here I am on my phone. Like, just, that's, like, the simplest example. But then when all of a sudden he shows up to be so motivating and does all this stuff, I'm like, oh, it's because I was doing that last week. It's like, or not, sometimes it's not that quick turnaround, but you know what I mean? Like, sometimes
I do.
It's such a gift.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a beautiful thing, but don't get into relationships thinking that's going to make your life easier.
Mm-mm. And actually, that's reminding me of Josh had this amazing metaphor about sandboxes.
I was talking with Gabrielle about intimacy, and it was the idea that if somebody had never experienced intimacy, it would be similar to somebody that had never experienced a sandbox. And so it was like, I imagined she and I as like 5-year-olds, and she came up and said, do you want to go play in the sandbox? And I had never heard of this thing. Maybe I had heard of it, but never been into one. And so she's like, yeah, it's sweet. It's fun. And I was like, what is it? And she said, well, there's like a boards that keep the sand inside. I was like, well, what's sand? It's really small rocks, really, really fine rocks. And on top, it's like warm. And if you dig inside, it's like cold and it can be wet and you can drive cars through it. And I was like, all right, I'll give it a try. And then we run over and we play in the sandbox. But that's kind of how intimacy is. It's like this idea that it's a concept or it's a word, but until someone invites you in and, you know, you don't have any preconceived ideas of intimacy as scary, you would just experience it. And it would be delightful.
And you broke it, the word down too, which I love, is into me, you see. And it's an inviting in.
That's powerful.
And I remember when you brought it up to me, because I remember like just being like so little, and some kid at school is like, oh yeah, this is how babies are made. And it's just like, you know, terrorized, like not, didn't mean to, but she just figured out that this is what happens. So she had to share it with everybody. And I remember being like, what? My parents did what? And just being horrified. So I learned quickly that like intimacy is scary.
It's like we have this idea of intimacy being just physical too.
Right.
And so maybe we need a different word. Because there's, we can have like, that's the vulnerability. If I open myself up and show me to you guys, that can feel intimate for me or us. And that there's nothing physical about that. It's simply, here's me. Hello.
It's true. It can be that simple. And that
vulnerability and opening, a showing. So into me, you see me. The Missy, see me. I don't know, because you are like, yeah, you're opening the energy. But there's like those different layers, right? Because we've got like that self that like extends like 6 feet beyond our physical body. And when someone steps into that space, like it already is impacting us and we can feel it, whether we're aware of it or not. Why some people give us the creeps and some people give us the, ooh, who are you? And then you just like layer by layer, how much are you revealing and like showing? Because even though we can feel it, doesn't mean we're sending it back. So are we opening up as much as someone's opening up to us? Are we opening up first, you know, kind of like vulnerability leadership? Like, hey, I'll show you, like, it's safe to be open. It's safe to share yourself with me. And then just kind of, yeah, taking that journey or playing in that sandbox.
Yeah. And because I, even forgetting that I describe so many things as intimate, like my breathwork, my weekly breathwork class that only a couple people sign up for, instead of saying like, oh, I wish more people came, I'm like, it's very intimate. You know, and I forget that I use that term as a positive of, we get to share a little bit more, we get a little more vulnerable in a small group. So it's, I love that about my intimate breathwork classes.
Same with friendships. Like when we cross over that moment, like at that, like it's, I think it's a different age for everybody, but there's that time in our lives where we want the quantity of friends. The more friends I have, the more like this was true for me at a time, maybe not for everybody, but like, oh, then I have more things, like people I can connect with, more invites, more hangout time, and I can just get out of the house. So not everybody's available all the time. So the more friends, the quantity, the better. And then stepping into that new threshold of like, oh no, quality friends, like quality of the people, even if it's not a big number, it's like a few quality relationships can take you so much further in terms of like friendship growth and getting to know people than the quantity.
Mm-hmm. That's a great lesson.
Intimacy and friendship as well. And in, I think in self too, like that, like how intimate can I get with myself to have these deep relationships? How much can I go into and see myself and share myself with others versus just show up at the parties, and have a good time and everybody and I laugh and then I go out home, but nobody really knows me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think that's the, I don't know the word. It's like the recipe is you have to go inward first. The more, for me anyway, the more I've gone inward with myself and have located and found these parts of me that either I had deemed broken or bad or shameful, as I have gone inward and like befriended those parts. Now I'm comfortable sharing those parts with others because I've actually gone in and vetted them and, you know, and like, oh, you're not bad at all. You were hurting.
And we're all three breathwork practitioners. So I know for me, I'm curious for y'all, like how much of a shift that took. I was pretty like introspective and reflective before breathwork training. And we went, and I know there's a lot of trainings out there. Ours was quite intense, 6 month, very immersive experiences. And so coming out of that, knowing myself on these new levels, like you said, Josh, those parts, you know, how much of myself I thought was just me, but it wasn't. It was voices from like internal managers or protectors, voices from messages I got growing up that I didn't realize, or from society, or sometimes just where I think it's a really clear voice and it is my voice, but it's in response to all of these things. And like breath work, especially like going through the training and continuing practices, you know, to just 20 minutes before we got started. Yeah, like really confronting and not being afraid to confront those parts that it's like, oh, I might not entirely be who I thought I was. I might be this much gentler person than I expected to be. Oh, okay. So I was raised to be really tough. So that's not me at all. Ooh. That changes a lot of perspectives about how I would even handle any kind of situation. So yeah, I don't think I had a point just reflecting on how breathwork has changed. Yeah, I did have a point. Okay. About how like breathwork has like shifted that intimacy with myself, and then curious how it impacted your intimacy as well.
Mm-hmm. For me, it was like almost opposite. Like I was raised to be so quiet and reserved and don't show anger, don't show sadness. And I was like, oh my God, I have all these emotions that are been dying to be felt. And I'm still processing and working through that today. I did pause just in the cohort before you guys, and it's still just a practice of discovering. And that's why we call our podcast Deeper Awareness, because constantly going deeper and deeper. And because at one point I'm like, okay, there has to be an end game here. Like I have to find that healing, that higher self of me, and get there and stay there. But it's a constant up and down, and maybe go a little higher one time, maybe go a little lower the next time. And then it's just always, it's a constant hill and valley journey.
Can I make a comment about that?
Yes, please.
So, cause I too thought like I was going to reach this height of healing and then it's just easy street. And then I realized like in that expansion, like it's not in one direction, it's in all directions, outward and inward. So as I've like gotten more intimate with my higher self and like aligned those layers of self, the deeper some of that darkness or hurt or pain or stories or illusions that I've created in my reality, like the deeper that goes. And so it's like, I'm not expanding just to the high highs, I'm expanding to the low lows. And the difference is now I can hold it all versus like internalizing one part or the other. It's like, oh no, I just keep like zooming out more and more and more, and more as I get away from the camera.
Hmm. Limitless.
Limitless. Yes.
And we talk, Josh and I like to talk a lot about, you know, the highs and the lows of, and how important both are of the healing journey.
It's all of it.
All of it, exactly. And it is, it's that capacity to hold it all.
Just a bigger sandbox. And then you just find more and more toys. Sometimes not toys.
So Jamie, We like to finish giving the opportunity for our guests to share your message with the world, whatever is here for you and wants to come forward.
You know, it comes back to that like delight thing. That's my favorite experience, that especially surprise and delight. And I have found that you just need to give yourself permission for it, because it's around us all the time. Like these like delightful surprises are around us all the time. The disassociating I experienced really cut me off from that. And so being so like more present with myself, I get to experience so much more of it, because it's sometimes just like in this conversation, there's been so many moments that have been so delightful for me, and I've enjoyed this experience in a disassociated, you know, state of mind. Like it's not going to feel much of anything. And then I would miss out on just like the connections we're having, the laughs we're having, the joy, and that's just everywhere. So like just giving yourself permission to like let life be delightful no matter what's going on in your world. And I can say that with like a lot of authority because of a lot of things that have gone on in my life, that still finding delight sometimes is like the thing that saves you. But then sometimes it's just the wonderful thing that gets to happen, you know, every day. I guess that's like
a blueberry.
Like a blueberry, especially like, you know, when you pop one in your mouth and it's just like perfectly crisp on the outside. So you get that little like gush, and then the, like the juice comes out and the flavor is so vibrant and you're just like,
that's how I feel about tomatoes, like cherry tomatoes.
Especially those little ones.
We grew a lot of those on the farm this year, and it was my snack. It was always like, okay, I'm hungry. Lunch isn't for another hour. Cherry tomato. And it was the most joyful thing ever, right off the vine.
Can you imagine how good those were before like we knew candy and candy existed? Like to just pop one of those in our mouths. Like,
oh. I know.
Yeah.
I would think the same thing when we were harvesting potatoes and like digging through the dirt, and all of a sudden there's just like purple potato. I'm like, can you imagine like discovering these potatoes before they existed? It's just like this like bright purple or red thing in the ground. It's amazing.
It's just like, yeah, what a surprise. And just letting your whole system feel that delight, that like kind of like champagne bubbles in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, perfect. Go be delighted. Go be a blueberry, everybody. Go be a purple potato. The first purple potato.
Thank you for listening to the Deeper Awareness Podcast, where the journey of self-discovery and inner growth continues to unfold. We hope this episode has ignited a spark within you and inspired you to embrace a more conscious and authentic existence by looking within. If you enjoyed today's conversation, be sure to subscribe and stay tuned for upcoming episodes, where we'll continue to explore the transformative power of breathwork and emotional healing. Continue the conversation and stay connected with us on Instagram. Follow at Deeper Awareness Podcast to receive daily inspiration, valuable tips, and updates on our latest episodes and offerings. We'd love to hear your thoughts and insights from today's show, so feel free to share them in the comments below or tag us in your posts. Your engagement and feedback mean the world to us as we strive to continue to create content that resonates and empowers our incredible community. Together, we can continue exploring the depths of consciousness, fostering genuine connections, and supporting each other on our transformative journeys. This episode is brought to you by You Belong Breathwork, your destination for transformative healing and self-discovery. At You Belong Breathwork, we believe in the power of breath to unlock the deepest parts of ourselves, leading to profound insights and a greater sense of connection and belonging. Whether you're seeking emotional healing, a deeper connection with yourself, or a path to authenticity, our breathwork sessions, retreats, and coaching programs are designed to guide you on this transformative journey. Our experienced facilitators are here to hold space for you as you explore the depths of your consciousness and discover the infinite potential within. Visit youbelongbreathwork.com to explore our offerings and download a free guided breathwork session. Thank you for being a part of our deeper awareness community. Stay connected, stay curious, and may you embrace your true essence with love and compassion. Goodbye for now, and see you in the next episode.